Hello and welcome to episode number 20 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is January 2nd, 2017, the first show of this brand new year. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both at McFlugel.com. Before we get started with tonight's episode, I want to steer you to a GoFundMe campaign that I set up to send Bill Kristol to an Iraqi vacation since he loves war. Especially the war in Iraq that he wanted so bad. So let's go send him to see his handiwork. But of course, he'll never take us up on that offer, and I would never want to financially support that man in any way. So any proceeds that we raise will be donated to antiwar.com and the fantastic work that they do. So check out McFlugel.com/vacation. Or also check out the show notes page, which I neglected to mention already, which is McFlugel.com/20. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce this podcast episode topic.
Thanks, Rollo. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today or tonight or whenever you're listening. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that comes up from time to time when talking to friends. When we talk to people who are, we'll say either Republican or Democrat, just kind of your mainstream run-of-the-mill people, and we start giving them ideas about reasons we don't like the state and ways we think we could operate without a state. At first, there's a lot of pushback, and then, you know, they think about it and they come back a couple days. But it ultimately always comes to the point where they say, okay, I guess I agree with everything you're saying. I really do. But how do we get there? What do? We just sit here and have conversations? Right? Do we start a violent revolution? I mean, what's next? And you know, it's nice to hear those questions because that means these people are starting to get it and they're understanding it and they want to do something. They want to act, but they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do. And it's almost like something in their head is going, all right, well, this state is giant. We're never going to overturn it. So why should we care? Why should we do anything at all? Or is there something we can do? Or, you know, should I tell more people? Should we go start a revolution? So Rollo, What do you say to that question when someone comes to you and says, all right, great, I like your stateless ideas, so what do we do?
Well, obviously, we got to find someone that we can elect to office to do all this stuff for us.
Yeah, so the correct answer is vote really hard next time.
And if it doesn't work, vote harder the next time. Yeah. No, of course, we're kidding there. So the best way I can describe it is that when I kind of got these ideas of libertarianism and being free, it was a great feeling, and it lifted so much weight off my shoulders to think that I don't have to worry about what everyone else is doing with their lives, and I don't have to care about politics anymore, and I don't have to care about people thinking about what I do. And I think that's a very good feeling because it's freeing. Not to, you know, use the definition of the word and what I'm saying. It's like, oh, what's libertarianism? Oh, it's freedom.
It's great. But, no, it's like, it's almost like a stress reliever. It's like right. All this stuff comes off your back that had been weighing on you that you didn't even know was weighing on you. It's a great feeling, actually. I agree with you.
So we want to get other people to have that feeling too, because it is a great thing. I mean, libertarianism, it's this great thing that we have that makes us better people, that makes us happier people. So at that point, it's difficult to not want to share it. And I think really what one of the problems of libertarianism is, or people within libertarianism, is that we get so gung-ho, especially in the beginning of spreading the message about it, that we don't always evangelize it well. That we kind of ram it down people's throats because we have this great thing that we want to share with everyone, and it makes perfect logical sense, and you know, it's rational and all this stuff. So, and your statist beliefs are completely irrational. So how do you not agree with me? Because this is so great and it's rational and logical. And just, if you think this correct way, it'll be better. But most people aren't ready for it. So.
Yeah. And you just one quick aside, we go to a monthly meeting with a bunch of friends in the area, and we were talking about these, when I say we, I mean Rollo and I, and we were talking about these stateless ideas to people. And one of the guys in the group said, do you think the word libertarian has a positive or negative connotation? And Of course, he is implying and did mean and agreed that it has a negative connotation. And so, you know, why is that? And I think exactly what you just said is people get so fired up and they just want to tell everyone and they want to get out there and get it in your face and say you're wrong, that it gives it that kind of negative connotation. Now, of course, there's probably some propaganda involved on that from the existing parties. But
right.
It's also their experience with the few libertarians they may have come across.
Right. And that's why it takes a long time. And I think I'm much better at spreading the message now than I have been in the past, because I realize that, one, people are different. They're individuals and they care about different things. So you have to really tailor the message to the individual. You got to, you know, get to know them a little bit. And sometimes it's, you know, you might meet a stranger and you can only have a minute to kind of get to understand them, or it's a friend that you've known forever and you've have years and years of interactions that you can use to understand where they're coming from. But either way, to get back to the question, what do we do now? Of course, the answer is not to not do anything. We do need to spread the word out. I think the other thing is we need to lead by example. If we're going to say that society is best run by voluntary interactions and not coercing people and not using violence, then we got to do that in our own lives. And I know we do this all the time, but we're, you know, Slappy and I are both Catholic. It's kind of a similar way there, is lead by example. You know, if you want to be a good, you be a good Christian. And the best way to bring other people to Christianity is to lead a happy life and to be a good example. And people are going to say, wow, that guy's really happy. I wonder why. Oh, it has something to do with this Christianity thing. And I think the same thing is with libertarianism. These people are really happy and going about and treating other people well. And people like their presence and want to be around them and want to follow them. You know, what is this thing? Oh, they're libertarians. So what's this libertarianism thing? Maybe I can be a part of that. So it's not so much, I don't want a revolution, as in like a violent revolution to overthrow the government, because I think you're going to get basically to bring another Christian example in there. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. So I don't want, you know, a violent revolution. I want a revolution of the mind. I want people to change their minds. And I think you just, by being a good example and articulating the message well, I think that's how you win other people over. And once you win enough people over, people don't care about the state anymore. The state only exists because people give it power. So once people no longer give it power, what power does it have?
Right. And it goes back to discussions we've had in a previous podcast episode. And if you read our blog, it's been up on there with the borders. And I don't think someone is necessarily less libertarian or, you know, a bad guy because they argue for the state to protect the borders. But I think it's dangerous when you argue for the state to do anything. So, like Rollo was saying, we want to change the hearts and minds of people. And one way to do that is to never argue for the state for anything. Get them to see that what the state is force, it's violence, it's aggression, and we don't want it ever. And if you can get enough people on board and you start spreading that message, and it's an uplifting message, not a down message, it shouldn't make you depressed to be freed, to have your mind freed. Should be a freeing experience and a good experience. And I think, you know, we have really no shot at becoming a libertarian country or people or whatever, you know, society, by using the state to get there. I think the best way, like Rollo said, is to get people on board by having the conversations, having these discussions, talking to people, as many people as who want to listen, and get them to understand our point of view and get them to the point, you know, the way I came to anarchism is you could no longer deny it. You ran out of ways to defend your old status views, and now here you are, and it just makes too much sense. And once enough people get to there, then we could talk about how we can ignore the state or do things voluntarily on our own so that we have no need for the state anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. Slappy and I were kind of talking about this before we went on the show, and how it doesn't even resonate at all with me, any state solutions for any problem. It's what you get to a point where it just doesn't,
I don't even consider it.
Right. Like, it's not even a thought. And it's funny because I'll be having conversations with people and they'll bring up these conundrums they're having or something or a situation, whatever. And I'll say like, oh, well, you know, you could do this and this and this and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, a lot of that's not legal. And I'm like, oh, well, like, do you want to solve the problem or do you?
what are you doing? Right.
And that goes, you know, goes along with it. Like, I don't care what legal is anymore. That's not exactly true.
Yeah.
I care what legal is because I don't want to get thrown in a case. I don't want to have more money taken from me. I don't want to get, you know, thrown in prison. But at least theoretically, when we're discussing ideas and possibilities, what's legal has nothing to do with what I'm considering. I care about what's right, what's moral, what's ethical, what's going to provide the best solution. So I think if you get to that point, too, with how you talk to people, that if you break out of the paradigm of the state, where the state isn't like what we're just saying, the state isn't even, state solutions at least don't even come to your mind, that has an effect on people, and people notice that. And they might kind of brush it off in the beginning, but after a while they start saying, they're like, huh, this is like a different way of thinking. And he's kind of got a good answer for a lot of the stuff I'm bringing up. There seems like there's something to it.
Now, kind of putting you on the spot here, because this is another question that, or maybe the guy's teasing me, whatever, but every now and then I'll be like, I got another good conspiracy theory for you.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and when I don't even realize he's kind of teasing me, because I'm thinking like, why does he think I like conspiracies? When did I ever talk about conspiracies?
Right.
Because honestly, I just think you're pointing out what the state does. You don't have to guess. Now, with a lot of these things, like we could talk about 9/11. Did Bush know? Did Bush organize it? I don't think so. I don't know. If I found out he did, it wouldn't shock me. But I don't go around saying that. Right. And so, you know, I don't think we're really conspiracy theorists. I think we just point out exactly what the state is doing. It's a priori. You don't need to have the written proof. You can just look at it. Taxation is theft. There's nothing. Yeah, you know, we don't have to go look at the IRS and find a secret document they passed and said, "Hey, guess what? We're really stealing this money. It's not really tax." Like, you know.
And who are the conspiracy theorists, really? I mean, you've got some libertarians out there and other people that, you know, everything that the government does is, you know, they've got some ulterior, evil, super evil motives. I mean,
I guess there are some of that, yeah.
Look at the fake news thing now that the government's flipping out about. That's a conspiracy.
Right.
That's a conspiracy theory. Look at the whole Russian thing. You know, the Russia hacked the election and blah, blah, blah. That's another conspiracy theory.
Yeah, all you have to do is look at that story to see how disingenuous it is. Russia hacked the election? No, if they did anything at all, they hacked the DNC.
Right.
Or and whoever.
As Bob Murphy keeps saying, at worst, what they did was showing how, you know, big of scumbags the people are in the DNC.
They showed the truth. They didn't lie.
Right.
Well, I mean, they did plenty of lying, but not whoever hacked this. Unless they went in and wrote those emails and said they were official emails, you know, which that would be really conspiracy theorists.
Right, exactly. But of course, no one has denied any of the contents of the
emails. Right.
Not to get off the rails on this, but the big irony of it is that, you know, the United States government is getting so up in arms about someone getting involved in, you know, the election, even though they really didn't. But the United States is open about regime change around the world.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, Mubarak, now they're trying to, you know, take Assad out of power. I mean, it's been the United States foreign policy for a lot of years to take people that they don't like out of power and put in the people that they want.
No. See, that's where you're wrong. Because, one, the USA is the white knights. And all these other countries have bad, evil dictators.
That's right. Now, you know, let's ignore the fact that half the country hated Barack Obama and thought he's the worst, most evil person in the world. And now the other half of the country thinks that Donald Trump is the most evil person in the world. But how dare you get involved in our politics from around the world? Because, you know, even though that we hate our politicians half the time, you better not interfere and, you know, try to do anything, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know the But we're getting a little bit off track.
Yeah, we're getting off track here.
So, you know, other than we're talking about, oh, we just got to talk about it. We got to talk about it and convince other people. What else is there, Slappy? What else can we do to bring about the end of the state and more liberty for?
Well, if you're talking, I mean, if you're talking in theory, how we could get to a stateless society, that's one thing. But just like you mentioned earlier in your everyday lives, promote voluntary exchange. Talk about how good it is. You don't have to explicitly talk about politics or how evil the state is. You could just talk about how great Uber is or how great eBay is or any other number of services that we use that were just came basically out of nowhere. Some entrepreneur thought of it and did it, and look at how great it works with the rating system, the two-way rating systems, and really promote these things and how good it is and how we don't need the state. Promote these guys on YouTube who are educating us better than we ever were educated at school or homeschool programs, or instead of having this stigma that homeschooling is so evil, talk about how great it is, how you have, you know, all the schools always talk about is a student-to-teacher ratio. Look, it's 1-to-1, or if you have 4 kids, it's 1-to-4. I mean, it's perfect. It's a great solution to the state education problem. And you can talk about these things without saying, and by the way, I hate the state and I'm an anarchist, because that scares people.
Well, and yeah, to that point, and I know I say this all the time, but people, and when I say people, I mean libertarians and even anarchists too, we give the state way too much credit and don't give the market nearly the credit it deserves, because the state does not make the world move at all. It makes the world slow down. The thing, like what the market does, is so incredible, how it coordinates with everyone, and it, we have to focus on that and showing how well the market works and how, you know, the voluntary exchange of goods and services, how that makes the world go around. Look at your own industry. I'm, most people who listen to this are probably, you know, maybe in college or work, probably in the working world. Look at your own industry. And I'm sure there's so much stuff, unless you work explicitly for the government, there's so much stuff around the world. And even if you do work for the government, you're using a lot of private businesses to do stuff. Look at how well it runs without the government oversight, you know, directly overseeing everything that you do, and how it's just people like you working together, even though you may have never met this person. You know, you might have never even exchanged emails with this person, let alone talk to him on the phone, but somehow it all works. Exactly. That's pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible. I mean, just your everyday things. The fact that I'm sitting here with a cigar, I've talked about on this podcast before how incredible it is that this cigar got to this porch from Central America in perfect conditions, and it was hand rolled and tobacco was grown for years, and here it is, and I only paid about $7 for it. Anyone who wanted to do this on their own, it would cost a lot more than $7.
So I don't know. Have any more words of wisdom for how to spread the message of libertarianism?
I think we covered what we wanted to say. If we want to talk quickly, and I mean real quickly, on a long-term solution, which we already kind of mentioned, is if enough people can reject the state, withdraw from the state, you don't have to fight a violent revolution. You don't have to officially secede. You just ignore it. You just stop. And you just live your life voluntarily. And I think we have a much better chance of getting to that point than we do by voting in the right people and using more force and jailing people who disagree with us and jailing people who just want to come here for work or whatever reason they want to come here, throw them in jail or force them out. I don't think you get to a stateless society that way. I think we have a much better chance of getting there. And probably, I mean, let's be real, probably not in our lifetimes, but you never know. Things move quick. In the 1970s, people probably weren't thinking the Soviet Union was going to collapse either. So you never know. The message can spread exponentially. Just keep talking to people. Keep getting people to understand. And if you get a critical mass, a good amount of people who get on board and really understand it, now we have a chance.
Exactly. So we've been doing this free market success story kind of thing for the last few episodes. You have any stories you'd like to share, Slappy, with?
Yeah, this week, I do not. I hate to be a letdown on that one. What, do you have something you can think of?
Well, you were talking a little while ago about you just, I believe you leased a
minivan. I did. Yes, yeah. That's right. That's
You're true. So cool. You leased a minivan. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we recently had our third child at the end of October and couldn't fit the whole family in one car. So went out to get a minivan, and I didn't really want to get one. I didn't really feel like paying for one right now. I didn't feel like looking at them, but I did need a car for my family. So of course I do my research online. I look about what I should be paying for it, look at the different cars, know what I want to get about what I want to get, narrow it down to a few. And, went into the very first dealership I walked into. It was raining that night, so I went to a Dodge. They do have a Ford shop there. Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge dealer. And went in, asked to look at minivans. They had a brand new, it was a 2016, so last year's model year. Grand Caravan. And yeah, I kind of knew what it was. Wasn't too excited about it. Took it for a test drive. Drove fine. Drove like a minivan. Wonderful. Got back. We start talking about price. He put it exactly where I thought he was going to put it. And I told him I'm going to go look at a couple others. He thanked me. Told me to give him a call if I need anything. Got into talking to the sales manager there, who actually grew up in a house that my sister-in-law bought, which he thought was awesome. And was talking about the neighborhood we live in. Long story short, he was really thrilled that his parents' house was bought by my sister-in-law. But I don't know if he pulled it out because of this or if they – I don't know how those car dealerships work. But he found an unbelievable leasing deal where I would end up paying about $100 less per month for 3.5 years and then have a buyout for a very good price. It was a price I couldn't turn down. And I went in there – like most people do when you go to a car dealership, ready to go to battle. Like, I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to have to walk away. I'm going to have to go get other offers. I'm going to have to bring that offer to this guy. Going to haggle, negotiate, take forever. And he kept going lower with the price as he kept coming up and finding things. And I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously they're making money unless they just wanted to unload these. It was the end of the year and it was last year's model. If they lost anything, they probably didn't lose much. But I was just fascinated how he gave me the price I thought he was going to give me, which I thought was a fair price. And I told him I'm going to go look at other cars. He said, good, go ahead. And if you have any questions, give me a call. You know, let me know what you find. It was very, there was very little pressure put on me. It wasn't the fast talkers. And the sales manager came out with a deal. And I told him the number I wanted to get to, and he beat it. He crushed it, absolutely killed it. He didn't take it like a penny less to squeeze every dollar out of me. He was very fair. He was very honest. At least that's how I perceived him. And he went above and beyond what I wanted or expected or thought I could get. And so I bought that car in the first shop I walked into. So that's kind of my market story and my good experience. It made me feel good buying this car. I felt good dealing with these people. They give you all the free maintenance for 6 months or whatever, a couple oil changes. And he told me about ways to get other discounts when I take it to their shop. I mean, it was just above and beyond what I expected. And what you always hear about the car dealers is they're out there to screw you. They're going to try to sell you something bad and get as much money out of you as possible. I made the mistake of telling him the number I wanted to get to, but he absolutely crushed that number. So,
well, you know, he really just wanted your money.
Of course he did.
And you wanted, and you wanted the minivan. So it worked out. It's great. Yeah. It worked.
I was going to say, and guess what? He got my money and I got his minivan. So it was good for everybody.
Exactly. So no, that's a good story. Kind of been having a lot of car stories recently between you and I, but that's good. It's something that most of us have to deal with.
Yeah.
So with that, appreciate you guys listening tonight. Be sure to share us, the podcast, and the website.
Tell your friends.
Yep.
We like people to hear us. We like to get in debates. We like to have discussion. If you have any questions, if you disagree, shoot us a comment or an email or get a hold of us one way or another.
Show notes page is mcflugel.com/20. Please be sure to go to mcflugel.com and subscribe to our email list. Also, subscribe to this podcast on either iTunes or Stitcher. Like us on Facebook, McFlugel, or facebook.com/McFlugel, and follow us on Twitter. All of these links will be on the show notes page, McFlugel.com/20. So again, thank you for listening. Welcome to the new year of 2017, and hopefully, you know, we'll be here for many years. We're already at episode 20, only 6 episodes away from doing this from 6 months. We haven't even missed a week yet, which is pretty incredible.
With our busy lives.
Yes.
Which we do have, yes. Like everyone else does. So. Yeah.
So, with that, have a good one.
Peace.